Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
So Dan texts in to say alligator has the texture of chicken, but it tastes like cod. It's weird, but it's nice. And Anne has been in touch to let us know that when she visits her son in Canada, they eat bear and beaver. I presume not together, Anne. She recommends the bear, but she's not as pushed about the beaver. Okay. Aidan Green, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks. And Aidan, you're performing at the Dublin Fringe Festival in a couple of weeks' time with your comedy show called, and the clue's in the title, I Know What You Did Last Stammer.
Mm-hmm.
You have some very creatively named shows over the years.
Yes, I mean, I think it's a very fun thing to play with the pun of stammer because it works in so many ways. So I've always kind of themed... The title of the show has always been a film. So my first show was called 500 Days of Stammer, which was a romantic comedy where I had to, I tried to find love and I couldn't, and it turned out I had to love my stammer before I could love anyone else.
Okay.
Stutter Island, and it was a horror. And it was very hard to flyer for at the Edinburgh Fringe when you can't say the title of the show. And then the third one was called Eternal Sunshine of the Stammering Man, and that was a science fiction. And this one's called I Know What You Did Last Stammer, which is not a horror. It is also kind of a science fiction show about what if there was a cure for my stammer at crucial points in my life. But okay. I have a word full of possible names for stammering shows, so I can do this for years.
What else do you have?
Stammer, I Hardly Know Her. Stutter, MC Stammer, or Stop Stammer Time.
I can't believe it's not Stutter, I have to say, is my favourite.
Yeah, and that is my next show, so I haven't bought tickets for next year.
Okay. And it sounds like it shouldn't work because I suppose we think about that comedy is all about flow and timing and all that, but I suppose you've made a virtue of the fact that you have a stammer and it's about having a stammer.
I mean, I think it is a thing that people inherently don't see as a humorous thing, and I certainly was informed by a lot of people when I was younger that it wasn't a funny thing and that I couldn't be funny because I had a stammer. But I always kind of felt about, I mean, this is a unique perspective that nobody else has in the world, you know, like, as in speaking is just a natural part of everyone's life, and for me it's the hardest part of my mind. So I just always, you know, like, what an interesting concept to play with. So I stammer a lot on stage.
And are the audience uncomfortable? Do they feel they're laughing at you, like laughing at your stammer?
I like to think they're laughing with me. I mean, yeah. I set that up with the start of most shows. It's okay to laugh at the fact that I stammer, but not... that I'm stammering, you know. So it's in, you know, like the jokes are, isn't this a ridiculous thing that happens because of my stammer? It's not okay. Ever, you know, like me being, oh, I hate myself or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Do you know why you have a stammer, by the way?
No. I mean, it's not, I don't think there's a scientific explanation for why. I think it's just, I mean, 1% of the world has a stammer. I just happen to be part of that 1%.
When was it first, kind of, when did it become apparent?
So my family moved from Northern Ireland down to the Republic when I was 4, and that's when I started, which, I mean, sounds like a great story, but we literally moved a mile across the border into Cavan, so we didn't. Very little change, to be honest with you.
And you've kind of alluded to it there. Was it a big issue for you growing up and in school and all that?
What's interesting about my stammer was it didn't really affect me too much when I was in primary school. So it just happened very quickly. I didn't really notice it was kind of going on. But then it was after my first year of secondary school. My stammer literally just changed overnight. I had no idea. I woke up and suddenly I literally couldn't speak. So I found out because I was home. I was home alone, and somebody called and I answered the phone and I literally just couldn't even say hello. So after that, you know, like every day in school was incredibly hard. I would often pretend I didn't have, I didn't have my work done because I didn't want to have to read it out. So I would rather get in trouble than have to speak in class. And all of the, it was the kind of thing where nobody knew what to do with me because, you know, like, there weren't special needs assistants in schools back then. So I always had to read in class. You know, like, it wasn't a thing where they're kind of like, oh, Aidan has a stammer. And in one mind, I'm kind of like, I'm glad I wasn't treated any differently. But at the time, It was just hell, you know?
Hell, was it?
Oh, God, absolutely. I tell the story in the show about how I cried in class because I was trying to read from a book in class. And I just couldn't read it. And everyone just like sat there and like slowly struggled until eventually I just, you know, like stuck my head in my hands and cried. But it was the thing where I don't know if the teacher just didn't know what to do or if he didn't want me to feel any different, but he just, you know, like let me go. And it's a thing where I mean, like, I know people who were in school maybe 5 or 10 years before me, and they dropped out because they were being made to read in class, even though, like, they brought in, like, a doctor's, he's a stammer, please don't ask him to read. And the teachers would insist on making him read. So he left school, I know a fella who left school at 15 because he's been forced to read even though he had a stammer, you know?
Okay, so not very enlightened times. And what about the other kids then? I presume when you get into the teen years, I'd say boys particularly can be a bit kind of cruel, can they?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of lucky because I was very good at football. So it was a thing where I was kind of slightly part of the cool kids, you know. So it wasn't as if I was, you know, kind of, you know, it was kind of like an American high school show where they're kind of like, this person has a disability, let's make fun out of them. Because I would have been on the high school football team, you know. So, but what I found was a lot of stuff would have been said behind my back, and a lot of stuff would have been, and like the stuff that, I mean, a lot of stuff was said to my face, but you know, like I was, you know, like I wasn't smaller than anyone. I was fairly, you know, like, you know, so it was a thing where I mean, like I had an older brother who was an absolute unit. So I think the people just weren't messing with me, but a lot of, I heard a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
but very, you know, like very little of it was said to my face, okay. You know, that sort of a thing.
How, when you talk now about the, obviously that was very traumatic, that day that you remember when you couldn't read and you think about people saying stuff behind your back and everything. Did all that kind of traumatize you more than the stammer, or has that stuff affected how you are?
Yeah, I think so. In the show Stutter Island, what I kind of did for the show was I contacted a lot of the people who had said some of the worst things about my stammer. And I was, and so the idea was I would have a recording of them saying it and I would play it in the show. So at certain points in the show, I would tell the story and what was happening around that time. And I'd play the audio clip of them saying it. And then at the end, I'd play them all together in a song. All of the most horrible things people have said, I would play in a song. And the kind of idea was, and it was something a good friend of mine said to me when I was younger, he said, Ed, nobody cares about your stammer except for you. And at the time, I kind of, you know, like I was internalizing everything and thought, oh, like, nobody cares about me, everyone hates me, everything's weird. But what he meant was people might say these horrible things and then they'll never think about me again. They'll just move on with their day. I'm the one who's assigning all of this value. I'm the one who's thinking about
you're the one carrying the weight.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So after I realised what he meant by that, and I even like, I remember the day he said, we were going to a Cavan game in Clonus and we're walking up and I was feeling hard depressed because I was having a really bad speech. And so, you know, he just said that from nowhere. Ed, nobody cares. And it was like a weight was off my back because if I was spending all my time thinking, oh, everyone's thinking about me. Everyone's you know, thinking, oh, Aiden's a freak, Aiden's a weirdo. But they don't give him, you know, they just don't care. You know, like
how were they when you contacted them?
They were confused. I mean, a lot of these people I hadn't spoken to in about 10 years. And I was just, and the thing was, and this kind of reinforced the point, none of them remembered saying any of these things. I was said, you said this thing about me when you were 15. And they were like, oh, I had no idea. And they're like, that's a horrible thing. And I'm like, but I kind of had to massage all of their egos and said, ah, yours is fine. I've got worse ones. And then I was like, no, I don't.
Do you know what you said there about you were having a horrible speech day that day when you're going to the match? So are there certain, if any of these questions are rude now or intrusive, just tell me, are there certain days, situations, times, moods where you're worse or better?
Yeah,
or?
I mean, it's literally a day, you know, like a sort of a day to day thing. You're like, my stammer changes every day. I might even not stammer the same way tomorrow. It's a very, very fluid thing. So, you know, like, and there's a bunch of factors involved. You know, like if I'm tired, I'll stammer more. If, you know, like, say I'm having back trouble, that's kind of like restricting my lungs. That'll affect it. But then sometimes it can be a mood thing. It can just be random. One day I'll write a super fun thing, I think, in my shows are, if you see, say, my show at the start of the run, in the middle of the run, I might randomly develop a block in a word. And then that block will become a part of the show, and I'll have new jokes around me not being able to say that word. So it's just it is like a day by day thing. I don't know how it'll be any day. I can't predict. Yeah, I mean, and it can be problematic as well, because I mean, some days I might not stammer at all, but I still have to go up on stage and do all of the same jokes. You know, I still have to do my job, so that can seem very offensive.
Oh God, yeah.
I mean, I remember I had a show in Edinburgh. And it was actually Ireland, and there was an older Scottish couple at the show, and they showed up really early, and it was only a free show back in 2018, and they seemed hammered, and the fella was getting angrier and angrier during the show, and I was having a pretty fluent speech. About halfway through, he stands up and walks out, and he says to my friend, "I won't stand for anyone making fun out of stammers or the Irish." And he walks away in a huff because I didn't stammer enough for him that day. You know, he was like, "Oh, well, that's, you know, like that isn't a real stammer." And I'm like, I mean, if he had been behind me in the bank last Tuesday, he'd definitely believe it's a real stammer. You know,
when you're performing, would you stammer less?
Yes, I mean, I was in, you know, like school plays a lot as a child, and I never stammered at all.
Really?
But then, you know, like when I was 13 and my stammer changed, I kind of just stopped all of that. You know, like, and I basically, you know, like, I didn't do anything like that for years. But I've always been more comfortable on the stage. I don't know what it is. I don't know if I'm just a complete narcissist. I don't know. But I, you know, like, I've always stammered less on stage. So, I mean, it's kind of like more of a safe space for me than anything else, you know. I feel comfortable on it.
And you're just back from the Edinburgh Fringe.
Yes.
Where I think you're quite big there. You go there every year, don't
you?
How many shows did you do?
This is my fifth Edinburgh Fringe. I did 64 shows in total and 25 or 6 days. So I had a free show in the in the afternoons at 12:20. And then I would have my... I Know What You Did Last Summer at 8:45 every day. And then you'd just be running around town, just doing spots in places. You know, you'd be flying 5-6 hours a day. I work harder at the Edinburgh Fringe than I've ever worked in my life. And now I feel incredibly unwell.
Really?
Yeah. It's called the Fringe Flu.
Is alcohol involved in this as well?
No, I didn't have time to drink.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And anytime I tried, I was just so tired. I couldn't, which is unfortunate because, you know, like there is anecdotally for me, when I drink 8 pints, I no longer stammer.
Okay.
Which is but between my second and 8 pints.
That's the sweet spot.
Yeah. But between the second and 8, I can't speak. Yeah. So I think that's where all these negative stereotypes about Cavan people are coming from, because I couldn't buy a round between the second and 8 pint.
Okay, and listen, you're doing I Know What You Did Last Summer at the International Bar as part of the Fringe in Dublin. That's from September 19th to 24th, and people can get information from that at fringefest.com. Is it exhausting?
No,
it's no more tiring for you to speak than it is for me. It looks like harder work.
Oh yeah, no, it definitely looks like harder work. But no, I mean, probably when I was younger. But I think I now am in a position where I talk so much. You know, as you know, like kind of like as I was scared of speaking, but I've kind of always loved it. So now it's almost as if I feel as if a normal person will take speaking for granted. But because it's been such a struggle for me my whole life, I feel as if it's kind of like a privilege. I'm able to go up on stage and speak. So I think I get energy from being able to talk. So I talk probably more than anyone you'll ever meet. But it's because I have the appreciation for speaking, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Aidan Green, absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me. Email brendan@rte.ie.